Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
When a person dies, they must leave everything behind. Only the treasure that they have stored in heaven will remain. That treasure comes from serving Jesus with pure hearts that desire to glorify God by all that we do, according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Please open your Bible to Psalm 49, verse 16. And listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his discussion of Psalms 49 and 50.
Verse 16, "Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him." The NIV reads verse 16 this way. Verses 16 and 17, "Do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendor of their houses increases, for they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendor will not descend with them." You know, many people seek to build a legacy in life on material wealth and possessions, and how differently Jesus thinks. And what he taught us. Notice the contrast. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." What a contrast. Are you laying up treasures in heaven, my friends? Are you making those investments in heaven, in the kingdom of God, for things that are eternal? Now, back to those who live for themselves in verse 18. "Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise you when you do well to yourself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understands not is like the beasts that perish." What is it that they don't understand? Well, here it is. The truth and eternal value of the gospel of Jesus Christ in comparison to the shallow temporal value of wealth and riches and fame in this life. In Matthew 13, verse 23, in the parable of the sower, Jesus said, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it," realizes that there's a kingdom to come. And the person that hears and understands bears fruit, some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. And again, we see the man that is in honor and understands not is like the beasts that perish. The man who isn't born again is living in a body conscious state like a beast, like an animal. All they think about is the here and now, the creature comforts, the creature and sensual pleasures apart from God. Man without God, without the Spirit being alive is just like a beast. And like a beast, you perish. But those who have been born again by the Spirit of Christ, who live and believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And here the psalmist says, "God will revive my soul. I will be living with him forever." My friends, the greatest wealth that you and I can leave for our family is a life that has been lived for the glory of God and for the honor of Jesus Christ. Psalm 50, a psalm of Asaph. This is the first psalm of the Asaph collection found in chapters 73 through 83. The sons of Asaph, they were the Levites. They served as temple singers in the second temple, although in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7, the connection between Asaph and temple music is traced back to the times of King David. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 30 refers to Asaph the seer. suggesting that for some, the liturgical poetry produced by the Asaphites was understood to be, and of course it was, divinely inspired. This psalm has to deal with the coming judgment of God upon his people. And whatever God states in this chapter he is judging is important to him, and it should be important to us. Psalm 50, verse 1, "The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof." It reads like this: El Elohim Yehovah. El stands for the might of God simply and absolutely. Elohim is the plural form that intensifies the idea of El. And it stands for the wisdom of God as well as his might. And Jehovah is the title by which he is ever revealed in his grace. The mighty God. The mighty God. That's your God. That's my God. The prophet Jeremiah in chapter 32, verse 18 says, "The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work. Everything, beloved, about our God is great." The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 2, that God has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And he's speaking to you and me tonight. And here in this first verse, God is calling the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof to listen to what he is saying. From the place where the sun seems to rise to the place where it seems to set, God is speaking to you and to me tonight. Out of Zion or Jerusalem, the place where God was worshipped and where he dwelt, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. He's caused his light and splendor to appear. We saw in chapter 48, verse 2, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion and the sides of the north, the city of the great king. I can remember singing that song, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion and the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Our God shall come. And the context refers to him coming in judgment. And shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. And so God here appears in what is known as a theophany, preceded by fire and a storm. And fire, in this context, is an instrument of judgment, an instrument of refinement. The fire of God burns away what is worthless, but purifies that which is valuable. When our Lord Jesus Christ returns, he'll once again break into the history of mankind, and that event will occur in the climax of man's rebellion against God. The Old Testament prophet Malachi said in chapter 4, verse 1, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, we read how the Lord in flaming fire will be taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament has stated the fact that this will be done at the coming of his Son Jesus Christ to gather all the nations before him and to pronounce his final sentence on mankind. You know, there are more prophecies of the second coming of Christ than the first coming of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? More prophecies of the second coming of Christ than of the first coming of Jesus Christ. And you and I, as believers, are looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ, are we not? What a glorious day that will be. But may I challenge you tonight, my friends, my Christian brothers and sisters. While you and I are talking about and waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ, there's a vast majority that of this planet that have never heard of the first coming of Jesus Christ. That's why we're doing what we're doing right now. That's why there are ministries over the airwaves and internet and in every country. The gospel is being preached because that's the primary mission of the church, to preach the gospel to every creature. Now, in verse 4, I echo what we said at the outset. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge, notice, his people. And so God is, in courtroom language, is summoning the entire universe to that day of judgment. Gather my saints together with me, those that have made sacrifice with me, made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The word saints here refers to those who have been set apart for the master's use. They refer to his people and how we will be gathered together unto him. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, we read, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Again, saints are those who are in a covenant with God by grace through faith in the substitutionary sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 7 through 9, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. Verse 6, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. That God is a judge. That God is righteous. That God is holy. It's not an attribute that many people think of. You know, the Beatles, in my era, what was one of their popular songs? All you need is love. All you need is love. Love, love, love. Love is all you need. Well, look at what happened to our generation. Thank God for Jesus Christ coming. He is coming. He's coming a second time where he's going to right every wrong. And as believers, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Our salvation is eternal. Our salvation is secure. But we are going to be challenged here today in the rest of this psalm, beloved, because there is going to be a judgment for every believer. We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. There is a judgment for the just. There is a judgment for the unjust. It is inevitable. The heavens, the heavenly inhabitants here are called to bear witness to the justice of God's judgment. Dr. Albert Barnes wrote this, quote, God is judge himself. That judgment, to be correct, must be founded on a perfect knowledge of the heart and on a clear and complete understanding of all the thoughts, the motives, the words, the deeds of all people. It cannot be supposed that any created being, however exalted, could possess all this knowledge. And it cannot be supposed that any created being, however pure, could be so endowed as to be secure against error in pronouncing a judgment on countless millions of people. It may be added here that as the New Testament has stated, that the judgment of the world in the last day will be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The considerations just suggested prove that he is divine. And so again in verse 7, God makes this declaration. Hear, notice who? O my people. Hear, pay attention, and I will speak. May we hear what God says. Now, he says, O Israel. And so there is that speaking to his covenant people. But you and I, as believers, are symbolically called the Israel of God. Hear, and I will speak. I will testify against thee. I am your God. That reminds us of the opening of the Decalogue. I am the Lord thy God. You shall have no other gods before me. In other words, I should be the priority in your life. Numero uno, number one. Have you ever heard it said? I've said it. Well, you know, you have your priorities in life. You have God first, marriage second, family and, you know, church and all of these things, as if there's number one, number two, number three, number four. Let me tell you, saints, let me be very honest with you. When God is number one, there is no number two. God is number one. I am your God. Your spouse is not your God. Your children are not your God. Your grandchildren are not your God. There's a whole lot of people that walk around thinking that they are God. They act like God, but there's only one true and living God. And God here is assembling the nations to witness as he brings testimony against his own people. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, judgment begins the house of God. While our salvation in Christ assures us that our sins can't bring us into ultimate condemnation, it also means that with our greater spiritual resources, God holds us more responsible for living as he prescribes. Luke 12:48 says, to whom much is given, much will be required. Christians are more loved and pardoned and yet called to a stricter account at the same time. Now, his people, Israel, the earthly Israel, verse 8, but there's parallels between them and us, beloved. There are parallels. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or for thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. And so God makes it very clear that he wasn't charging the nation with neglect as far as sacrifices or offerings. They maintain all the external rites or duties of the religious or the Mosaic cause. A code was not on those grounds that they were being blamed or condemned. And we know that God certainly was not saying that the offerings that he prescribed were meaningless or wrong. And so we have to understand this. They were not to be blamed in the external duties of worship. They were what you and I would say, keeping the letter of the law. But they were engaged in a form of godliness. There was no heart. The reproof that God is issuing here relates, listen carefully, to the absence of a proper spirit and the bringing of the sacrifices and a compromised lifestyle. In the book of Revelation chapter 2, Jesus writes to the church at Ephesus. And this church at Ephesus is given high marks for their works, for their labor, for their patience, for the fact that they could not bear them which are evil. They tried those who said that they were apostles and found them liars. They labored, they fainted, they were doing so many good things, biblical things, things that we are taught to do as believers. But then Jesus said to them, again, he looks at their heart, nevertheless, they have something against you because you've left your first love. You know what that means? It is possible for me to be standing here, or you, or whenever you're doing a Christian act of kindness or ministry. We can be just going through the motions. It can be all external. Here, we find God reproving them. They were doing biblical things, right things, but they were not doing them out of a heart of love, out of a heart of appreciation, out of a heart of worship. You see, it's the heart, isn't it? That's what God is looking at. When Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse to find a king to succeed Saul, Jesse paraded his older boys before the prophet. No doubt they may have been remarkable men in the naturals, but God said neither one of them, none of them were whom he chose. And then there was David, and the Spirit of God says, "That's my man." Because God does not look at man like we do. Man looks at the outward appearance, the degrees. We're impressed with intelligence and wealth and strength and power or beauty. God's looking at the heart. That's what counts. That's what counts. We have to love the Lord our God with our heart. And here, God is now giving the stinging rebuke to his people. He says in verse 9, they were doing everything externally, meticulously, precisely. He says, "I will take no bullock out of your house, nor he goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." Or in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 14, we read, "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is." The Lord says in verse 13, "Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?" You see, in verses 8 through 13, we find that God rebukes his people for their external religiosity without inward heart change at all. It was all outward. Nothing more than mindless, heartless ritual. You know, it's possible for you and I to be guilty of that. It's possible for you and I to be engaged in the most profound and beautiful things that God tells us to do and have no heart. So easy to recite prayers, quote scripture, and sing songs without a heart that is mindful of the greatness and the goodness and the grace and the love of God. You see, these verses show that there are people who think their worship offerings are somehow doing God a favor. You know what that is? That's ritualism. That's moralism. The idea that with our ethical life or our religious observance, we can put God in our debt so that he owes us things. Here's what God says: "Offer unto him thanksgiving and pay your vows unto the Most High." Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy, his wonderful.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Like sheep without a shepherd, our kids need a trustworthy guide for their lives. Introducing Emerald Crossing, an unforgettable summer camp experience where kids will meet Shepherd King David and the ultimate shepherd, Jesus Christ. They learn how to cross from anxiety to peace, from fear to faith, and from uncertainty to a firm foundation in God's Word. Join us at Koinonia Fellowship, August 3rd through the 7th. Register today at koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you.
Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us at 9:30 on Sunday morning and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday for our regular services. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Weather permitting, Sunday morning services will be held in Edmund Lyon Park, right next to our church parking lot. Please bring your own chairs and blankets. Please check our website for any last-minute changes. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.